The news of this morning is beyond disappointing. The unsafe, unprofessional acts certainly put our men and women at risk.
Please remember, you can find us online at usaradio.com or on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good afternoon. This is Larry McAtee, and you're on the Hunterdon County Radio Station. This is Home Time with Home Team. Home Team is a home inspection company that does home inspections when you buy or sell real estate. We check it out, make sure it is what you think it is, and we tell the story of the house. Every house has a story. We don't write it. We don't embellish it. We just tell it. That way you can make a good decision on probably the single biggest investment of your life. Today I have Chris Phelan with us today, and he'll be joining us in a minute or two. Chris is actually the head of the chamber, but he's here today as capacity of OEM, the director of OEM, I guess, right? Or the title. He'll explain that to you in a minute, but he's here to explain the OEM. And you know, when you look at the Midwest right now and you see what's going on out there with the tornadoes and the flooding and everything else, and you see all that coordination of rescue people, that stuff doesn't happen by itself. And Chris is going to tell us what Hunterdon County and Raritan Township and what our communities have for us here. So that'll be a good discussion today. The weather looks great today, but it's not going to be that good going forward. It looks like a good weekend. Saturday and Sunday are going to be 81 and 77. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we look like a clouds with chance of rain, all in the 70s. So the temperature will be good, but we're going to get a little bit of rain this week. Hopefully not as much as the Midwest, but next weekend it looks like it's clearing up and it's going to be nice. So hopefully we're going to have a good week. Something came up this week that I thought I'd bring up is it was the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and I don't know how many of you watched the ceremonies there, but couldn't help. Oh, yeah, Chris. There we go. Sorry about that, folks. I just didn't start my stream there from my Facebook. I need a producer, I think, but I don't know if it's...
Here to help you out, Larry. No worries.
Yeah, I don't know if it's in the budget, but I need a producer. But D-Day was on the news this weekend, and I don't know about you, but D-Day tears me up. I find myself just almost crying at the TV set watching that. It's amazing to me that the gentlemen that are around and the veterans that were there. I mean, some of them, one of them, a 97-year-old man, parachuted back into where he did. He said the only difference this time was, yeah, he could see where he was going because it wasn't nighttime and there was nobody shooting at him. But they seem to have a good sense of humor, but they also, I don't think they were looking for the recognition, and I don't think they were looking for the medals and all this pomp and circumstance. And the one that got me was just like in Private Ryan, the one old-timer went there and he found the grave that he had a picture he carried in his wallet for the last 75 years of his buddy's grave, and it wasn't even marked when he was there, but now it's marked on Normandy. So this week, remember these guys, and It is. They're called the greatest generation for a reason, that they selfishly gave up on themselves and their families to do what was right. And I think it was a great time. Well, we're going to do a commercial here, and then we're going to be back with Chris Phelan. So hang on 1 minute, if I can read.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, we're back. My guest today is Chris Phelan. As I said, he's the director of OEM management in Hunterdon County, I believe.
Actually, Raritan Township.
Raritan Township. Okay, I'm sorry
sure.
about that. But I'm sure it's all connected anyway. But
it is.
It's funny because, I mean, Chris and I go way back in a sense that 30 years ago we were young guys in the fire company rescue squad here in Raritan Township. I was in the president of the fire company over here in Raritan. And it's funny, I ran into the guys at Community Day, right? And I'm talking to them,
sure.
and I'm thinking, These guys weren't even born when I was president of the fire company. That's how old I'm feeling because
– it goes quick.
We were talking about it. They're like, oh, really? You built the third station? I said, yeah. They I don't think they think it's like a new station because they were born after it was built. But it's just funny how time does fly because that was in 1987 through like 1990, and Chris was in the squad, and now he's heading up the OEM. And for those of you who don't know, Office of Emergency Management. But, Chris, maybe you can tell us your title and basically what the OEM management is.
Yeah, definitely. Happy to share that, Larry. Want to again, I'm going to put my chamber hat on for 30 seconds and just thank you for taking on this role here. And great show, so congratulations. It's about, what, 2 months, 3 months you're into already?
Oh, it's almost five, actually.
Five months.
It was February. It's still,
so
four
30
months.
Years flew. Now look at
yeah,
five,
months
6 months. It's flying away. But, no, I am in a volunteer capacity. The coordinator is actually our official title of the Office of Emergency Management for Raritan Township. So throughout the state of New Jersey, we have 500-plus municipalities, and by state statute, each town, borough, or city has to have a designated Office of Emergency Management. And like you said, we all work together. So the way the Office of Emergency Management works is we do work in partnership then with the County Office of Emergency Management. That's on a county level. So all 21 counties have that. Our actually coordinator for Hunterdon County is a gentleman by the name of Braden Fahey, who is also a longtime squad member here in Flemington. And Andrew Camp is his deputy coordinator. And then as you move your way up, we have the New Jersey State Police. So they have a division, which is the Office of Emergency Management for the state. And some states have it set up a little differently. Some states have it set up similar, where the coordinator on a state level is actually the colonel, the superintendent of the New Jersey State Police. And then on that level, on a state level, it moves its way up to FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. So everybody's pretty much heard FEMA. And like you said, the last decade or so, we've seen such an increase in activity throughout the country with natural disasters. And unfortunately, you see what's going on now in the Midwest with flooding and tornadoes. And we've got activity all throughout the South. But, you know, the Office of Emergency Management is an organization that's comprised with putting together, really, like you said, the coordination of resources at the end of the day that will help
prepare
you're saying a community.
It's the coordination because every department is still responsible for training and equipment and everything else. But the big thing I see is, and I used to see it when I was chief at one significant fire over in Lipton T there. It was actually a small fire, but it happened Wildwood weekend, which made it a big fire.
Sure.
And it was very difficult to coordinate, you know, five, six fire companies responding to one incident to make sure we're not duplicating or we're not losing accountability. You know, it's very easy to get 40 guys showing up and doing their own thing. And I think people take for granted. I was talking to you before the show started. I was looking at the floods in the South and then the tornadoes out West. And it amazes me that the tornado comes through and 25 minutes later, there's a response and there's, you know, there's people searching houses and there's a system to it.
There really is. There really is a system, and it's something that you really never stop doing. So 90% of our work is in that planning phase. You distinctly have our first responders, which do a great job in Raritan Township. We've got our police department. We've got our rescue squad. We've mentioned our fire company. These are the folks that are going to respond to our day-to-day incidents here and keep us safe.
And 99% of the time, they handle
Without
it within
doubt.
Their own communications.
Without a doubt.
But at the same time, their communications is a brick in your communications in a sense that's why they started training us in command and control.
Sure.
When I was in the fire company. Before that, we barely had radios.
Right.
Now the command and control, so everybody knows their piece of the puzzle as it gets bigger and it grows, so there's no infighting at the scene. I mean, there may be a little discussion afterwards over the coffee, but I'm sure when the scene's going on, there's sort of a chain of command. So
there is. No, every incident has that, and really our role, if we were to get involved with a larger scale incident, you know, that may, again, somewhat overwhelm the initial response, as the Office of Emergency Management, then again in coordination with the county and the state, we're able to bring in other mitigating resources to help, you know, sustain those efforts. So a lot of what we do, you know, ends up on the recovery side. I'll give some examples of recent incidences, but if there was a particular incident to happen in a township or a community, OEM would come in and, again, assist in the coordination of those, you know, additional resources. So it could be, we're talking fire, you know, although a fire is not typically a large scene, but if it was a large-scale fire and we needed to bring in extra equipment, a backhoe or utilize
water
DPW
supply out here,
supply.
Water supply. hitchhiker, be it.
Exactly. Things along those lines, that's where our office would come into play. But if it's a much larger scale incident, something that's going to be a prolonged event, and we've had, you know, over the last, several years here in Hunterdon County and Raritan Township in particular, we can go back to one that everyone seems to recall, although it hit the Jersey Shore, it clearly impacted our area, Superstorm Sandy. So that was something that the way each Office of Emergency Management begins that process is, obviously, everybody's glued to the weather, and everybody's looking at weather reports and trying to figure things out. We start to hear we're moving into, you know, hurricane season now. So for those weeks building up to that, we'll start to get, you know, a series of weather reports. They may come in from the county. They may come in from NOAA, the National Weather Service. We'll start to disseminate that information out to, you know, our various departments. They're getting information as well. As we get closer to a known incident, that's where the beginning stages of planning begin. Do we have the ability to open up shelters, and do we have those resources in play if we need that? Conversations begin with the power company relative to what's their plan. So we'll participate in a series of pre-conference planning in terms of what's going to be the response relative to that. We then, on a local level, will start to do pre-planning as well. So there could be a conference call or meeting with representatives from various departments and agencies. As that evolution, like on a large weather event, took place, and we saw Super Sandy actually come through and obviously impacted not only with trees down, with wires down, with critical facilities being impacted. I mean, we have here in the township some large employers. We have Hunterdon Medical Center located in the township.
Sure.
We've got schools. Sure. So we may be in contact around these weather events with the schools, saying, listen, you know, here's what we're getting. What are you guys doing in terms of your plans? The weather event happens, and really what happens at that point is you're going to still get the first responders to come out, and that happened throughout any one of these weather events, including a large scale
hurricane.
Yeah,
I mean, I sort of think it's more like you're the planning process, and they're the execution of
Without
it.
Without a doubt. And then it's the mitigation and the recovery period, and that's the side that, you know, once the actual scenes are safe and folks are where they're at, what happens at that point?
Well, you can see that in the Midwest with the tornadoes. Tornado comes through, it's only there 20 minutes.
So our office literally, you know, I'll give Super Sandy just as an example of a very large scale, was open for weeks. And we are now individually working with. And what we do is we've got a team of deputies. We've got another group, which I'd love to plug, and that's our CERT team, our Community Emergency Response Team. And these are also volunteers. They'll be there to not only staff the office, we provide sheltering if needed, you know, and during Sandy, we had to activate one of our shelters, and that's with another resource partner. We work with the American Red Cross, and they actually opened up a shelter at J.P. Case, and all of those agreements are in place, so we can do that. We work with the county. The county opens up shelters throughout that, throughout the county itself, trying to disseminate information, and we do that over social media, maybe 911 messaging. It may be PSAs that go out. So there's a whole way in which that we try to communicate that information out. But then our team goes out and starts doing, literally within the first 20, 24 hours, damage assessments, and we'll be out there photographing, taking things down, things that happen on private property, public property. We have roads that are impacted. So we're trying to take a real assessment as far as we can for the entire township. And Raritan Township is a big township.
38 square miles, I know that.
So when you go from one end of the township to the other, we've got a very diverse topography, and different areas are impacted different ways. So we'll do this assessment, and then we'll begin to work again with the county and other partners, from our DPW back to the power company. We'll start feeding this information back up to them. Because you figure, I mean, again, Hunterdon County, just on a microcosm, has 26 municipalities. Each municipality has been impacted now. How do you start to coordinate that back up? How does the power company make decisions? They've got their plans and contingency in place to start getting, you know, again, critical facilities. We've got to make sure the hospital has power. Sure, they can go for X amount of time on their generators and auxiliaries, but ultimately, do we need to start evacuating a care facility? Because, you know, again, all these things, you know, are part of our ongoing assessment. We're trying to mitigate and work with residents during this process and let them know, do we have residents that need, you know, medical attention? They may be on generators, or they may be on oxygen, things like that. So there's a lot of different details. We have what we call, each Office of Emergency Management basically has what we call an EOC, an Emergency Operations Center.
Okay.
this is something a lot of people see in the movies. It's got, you know, not ours. Ours never made the movies. But, you know, for instance,
you
on
mean
a
it's
large
got all the touchscreens. They wave their hands and everything just appears.
There, but you've got TVs and you got monitors, but
cameras everywhere.
Our EOC is down at Raritan Township, and we may activate that. The county also has an EOC. So we are communicating in that Emergency Operations Center, tracking and coordinating again back with various resources on information, trying to get as quickly as we can or as realistically as we can and as practically and as safely as we can, basically the township and life back to normal. Sure. What happens, obviously, during these large-scale incidents is that there's a lot of unplanned for and unbudgeted expenses. That's just the reality in which we live in. So you literally could have an incident, and we've had this, Superstorm Sandy, where hundreds, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of unexpected expenses will come in. If you're keeping crews, DPW, extra police, and you're starting to provide, again, services above beyond the normal, that can add up very quickly. We had a storm not even 2 years ago, a windstorm that came through. We had 90-some roads in the township that were actually cut off, literally trees down. It was on the northern side of the township. Our DPW crew did a phenomenal job, but they're out there. These are unplanned for events and incidences.
Sure, sure. But for well, you know, you're talking about down trees. I mean, I'm looking at roads that washed away at
sure,
some places
sure,
with a bridge. I mean, we had a bridge near us. It was a critical bridge, and literally, the bridge stood, but both approaches were gone.
Sure. So one of our critical roles, and this moves months beyond the actual incident then, again, in coordination with the county of Hunterdon and then ultimately with the New Jersey Office of Emergency Management and then back up to FEMA, we will start to make a claim. And if there's a declaration of a disaster by FEMA, which ultimately the only one who can clear a disaster area is FEMA in conjunction with the President of the United States, there is eligibility for FEMA funding to come in on that recovery side. So there is not a 100% dollar-for-dollar match, but a considerable amount of money can come back in to a given municipality if those things were to happen. And it's up to the Office of Emergency Management then. We go through and we work with our departments and our finance, and it's a pretty extensive process to document down to the penny, show proof of payment, et cetera, make our claim. We may have to appeal that claim, and it literally can be a process that can take us 2 years post the actual incident to actually receive that money back. You know, that's a critical
Chris,
role that we play.
That's a part of OEM that I didn't be preparing for you today. I'm thinking of what you do, and I had a good idea being in the fire company, but I didn't even think of that, the administrative side of that.
Yeah, it's
sense.
Pretty
I was thinking more of the response side, and you know, in the like you say, the initial response, the life safety. But there's so much more to it.
There is, and on the funding side, a lot of folks don't think about it. I mean, let's talk about flooding. And obviously we have flooding issues here in Hunterdon County. And, you know, certain flooding issues are things that we could avoid. Certain things we can potentially mitigate and in a future storm have the probability of that incident not happening. Other things, Mother Nature is going to be Mother Nature, and yeah, she's going to win. But there are known in every town areas or roadways. You mentioned a bridge washing out. So we have identified with our planning office, and we have identified with our town engineers. And this is, again, a process that happens every few years. Ultimately, I think it's on a three-year cycle. Hunterdon County will apply again back up to the state, and then the state will take that whole package for New Jersey, apply that back up to FEMA for what we call mitigation, you know, basically
preparation
dollars in preparation that'll come in. So we have identified certain areas in the township, certain roadways that are prone to flooding. Are there things that we can do? These are very, very expensive, you know, projects that typically wouldn't come out of an annual allocation or an annual capital on behalf of a municipality. But when the federal government comes down and they start looking, we've done our homework. We've got a plan. We've identified something that potentially could mitigate future flooding in that area. And if life safety is you know, put at the top of that grading score, we have
well,
a shot at potentially
getting I can tell you one thing.
Money.
If you don't have that plan or that book put together,
sure,
you're not getting the money. The sure guy next door is getting it.
So there are projects that we've gotten over the years in Raritan Township that have been in that vein, and that's proactive money, I kind of call it, and that money can come in. That money then can be used to further study and ultimately hopefully implement some sort of mitigation. And, you know, we've had areas in the township that unfortunately are going to always flood, and we've got plans to deal with that, you know, in terms of life hazards and getting folks, you know, out of that, you know, extreme situation. We have other areas that potentially we can do some things to make improvements. So there's another element there relative to, you know, our work that's looking at things that, you know, may not happen every day, and that's a good thing. But when it does happen, like you're saying,
well, you can't wait to plan for it when it happens. But,
exactly.
And some things are predictable. We're going to do a couple commercials. We'll be right back, though.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back with Chris, and we were just talking a little bit about it. You know, he emphasizes the planning and everything, and it's interesting because I was, you know, it's current because I was watching the news, and I was watching the Arkansas River is the highest it's ever been in the history, and yet they have a plan. They have levees that are breaching, and they knew which ones were going to breach, if it was going to breach, where they were going to happen first and what the downfall was, and they have a red line, and they're evacuating and probably saving thousands and thousands of lives. In the past, and you think, well, why didn't this happen in the past? It did happen. I mean, the Youngstown flood did happen and killed thousands of people. So don't think it didn't happen in the past. We don't know about it. It's not like the internet today. But
it's one of those things, and you know, being that we are a rural, still small county, you know, we do have resources, but not as much resources sometimes as our other counties and more populated areas. You know, we're really interdependent. You know, we again have a great working relationship with the Office of Emergency Management, OEM, on a county level. We work with our neighboring municipalities. I got to put my kudos out to the Flemington Borough Office of Emergency Management. Mary Melfi's there, coordinator. Dave Giuliani, Brian McNally, two of the deputies. I attend their quarterly meetings. There's a local, it's called the Local Area Planning Action Committee. I think that's the actual technical term, LOPAC. And those groups meet, you know, quarterly. We have one in the township as well. Flemington Borough attends ours. I mean, when you look at our geographies,
sense.
We're all together. We've got an incident happening. You know, there may be a storm coming. Look at just winter weather. We've seen over the last several years our winter weather has had impacts. We're coordinating during those incidents. What's happening in Flemington? What are you guys doing? What can we help you with? And vice versa. Same thing with Reddington. You know, you move through, you know, the county and there's great interrelationship. And that, again, you can't become friends during the storm,
right,
during the incident, during the event. So all of that planning is real critical.
Well, what I was always amazed at was the professionalism, because even if you weren't friends.
Sure.
And there's always a little bit of camaraderie or competition, and even competition, you know.
Right.
But yet when the whistle blew, I mean, you know, when I was here, the Flemington and Raritan Fire Companies were always, it was like gossip. But, I mean, it didn't involve me because I was, you know, new in a sense. But when we got to the fire, it didn't matter what the helmet said.
Yeah.
If there was somebody in the house and we had to go
That's
in, I looked and
sure.
If there was another trained professional next to me, I didn't care what color helmet he had. I don't care what his truck said.
Yeah, like I mentioned, and I'll talk a little bit before the end of the show about our CERT team, our Community Emergency Response Team, which is a real supplemental core for us. That group can come out and help us when even OEM needs additional help. And they'll come out during the storms. They'll help man the EOC. They'll help us on damage assessment. So it's not as labor-intensive for somebody. So if somebody's out there and is thinking about volunteering and just wants to kind of get some
exposure. You're not going to put somebody in on the end of a hose in a fire, but
right.
This person could be making the coffee or could be
putting a list
together for notification so people know where to go to say where's their family or whatever.
But a great example, we just had our most recent class. We have four new members of our CERT team just finished up last week. That class was sponsored by our township, but really put on by Frank Venziel, the coordinator of the Reddington Township Office of Emergency Management, along with the folks out at the Holland Township Office of Emergency Management and the county. So it's a great resource even on the training, and that's about 6 weeks of training that they went through twice a week, and then a half-day program to wrap things up in terms of their final assessment. But just another example of how we all work together in that spirit.
For the average listener out there, it sounds like it happens automatically, but it's a common language, I think. What it does is it puts everybody – and you talk about all the training. Everybody says training, but it puts everybody on the same language in a sense.
It does.
So when they say they call out for, you know, a reserve unit, it's just like the fire companies with the RIT teams now. And when they call for a RIT team, it's a backup team that's going to protect the firemen that are in the fire. And everybody knows what it means, and everybody knows what their job is. They get there and they stand by. They do nothing but stand by in case they need them. It just works that way. And as you said, it takes many people to coordinate that. And I want to emphasize that. So if you want to be involved, asking, because there are roles for people that are not going to be on the front line.
One of our other roles, we have been doing this for several years now, and we'll continue to do that. You'll see it up on our social media site. You'll see it up on our website, is that we have a kind of a clearinghouse if folks are interested in volunteering for emergency services. We can connect you with the fire company. We can connect you with the rescue squad. We can utilize your services potentially through CERT and get involved with that.
Right.
So, we have posters, we have flyers, we have things that we have out in the community kind of ongoing. Because it is amazing, you know, out here we are very in Hunterdon County, Raritan Township, just like all of our other towns, very, very much reliant on a volunteer base. Although many of our rescue squads have implemented supplemental paid staff to balance things.
But even the paid fire companies like Morrison, their initial crew is paid.
Sure.
But they have a real fire. They're calling call men and volunteers to support.
So. Like Lambertville is now the first municipality in Hunterdon to have a paid crew on during the day.
So they can handle 90% of the little oven fire or the car fire.
Right.
But a structure fire, they're gonna
at the core, so critical.
And you know, people take that for granted, because I can remember even when I was in Concord Ridge here, when I lived here, I was by the pool and the whistle went, and I went, and somebody said to my wife, well, where's he going? And she's going, well, they got a fire. And he goes, well, don't they have a fire company? And I mean, these were people that lived in town, didn't even realize that, you know, the firefighters were your next door neighbor. And, you know, I'm quite impressed. I've done a lot of traveling, and I sold emergency vehicles for a while, and I was in California. California and Florida, probably two of the best county-based paid operations I've ever seen as far as chain of command, and I think we all probably go to school on some of that. But I think Hunterdon County rivals some of it. I mean, the coordination is there. Certainly the towns have supported the fire companies in equipment, but they don't pay for the manpower, whereas in California they pay for the manpower, and they probably lack on the equipment.
Right. I know you said you want to take a break, but I'm going to put a plug in real quick and we can do it when we come back after the break. Talk about some of the things that one of our other areas.
A little bit of a break. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of our other areas is around education. You know, we want not only our coordination of municipal and county and state resources to be prepared, coordinated, and ready to go. But what helps us is when folks help themselves. So I'd love to talk about some ways in which we go out and we'll present. I just presented to one of our associations here in the county or in the township just about a month or two ago and talked about things that they can do to get prepared. We've got information and literature. We've got information up on our website. Part of our messaging, we utilize social media a lot on Facebook. We will spread throughout our messaging each month information from the federal government. We'll talk about the Ready site. The Ready site is a great site for folks to go to. Tons of resources on how to get prepared. We're moving into hurricane season now. We could talk a little bit about preparedness on that front as well. So there's a lot of things that folks can do so that in that moment when the disaster comes or strikes, you're prepared.
And the time to go buy batteries isn't when the storm is hitting or buy that extra
long way.
That extra gallon of gas for the generator. I mean, you mentioned that, so you're available, and that's one thing I want to make sure we'll get out there, that if you've got a nonprofit group out there or even a group out there that meets and looking for somebody to come out and do a topic.
Myself or one of our deputies, we'd be happy to come in and do a presentation.
That's great news because you know, I credit the fire company with actually, they used to run the trailers at the schools and then they had community day and they teach the kids about, when they hit the alarm to get out. And I had three kids, and I told this a little bit of the story before, but my three kids were home alone. Their grandparents live two doors down, so they weren't totally alone. But they were 12, 11, and 9, and my son is autistic, my middle son. And the smoke alarm, its carbon monoxide detector went off in the middle. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and my daughter knew that something was wrong because it never goes off. And and so she said, well, we'll get dressed. And they got my little older son got my other son dressed. And then they got outside and they called us on the cell phone. And they said they had called Grandpa and the fire trucks were on the way and the house was burning down. I said, oh, my God. And I was panicking. But then I said, well, where are you? And my daughter said, duh, we're by the mailbox. Long story short, a flue fell off the furnace and it blew a carbon monoxide into the basement, which was deadly, to tell you the truth, if they were sleeping. But I was so proud of when she came before my wife says, I slowed down because I hit every red light on 206 you could hit. But I said, you know what, if the house is on fire, I don't care. The kids are outside.
Sure,
there's nothing
out
in that house that
they did what they were trained to do.
And the fire company gave them proclamations and everything else. And I said, because the whole rule was get your brother and get out. And that was the rule all the time. But they also buy the mailbox where they were supposed to be. So I tell people don't sell them short. Listen to these pre-plans and understand what they mean and practice them once in a while. I know it felt goofy when we did it, when we were practicing. But I was sure glad that when she said, duh, we're by the mailbox, and Grandpa ran in. She goes, it must have been serious because Grandpa ran across the grass, and he never runs across the grass.
Wow. Okay.
But it was, I was very proud of them when they got their little certificates from the fire company. But anyway, that goes back to your planning. I mean, we were talking just a little bit before, like we have Round Valley Reservoir with a dike and all that. And it's amazing that there are people in place that are actually looking at that and saying, God forbid we have a flood or a natural disaster.
Sure.
What are we going to do? And who do we have to rescue? Who do we have to move? Who do we have to? Like you said, one of the things that they started in my town was a 911 registry. My son's registered. So when they get a call to my house, that cop in the car on his screen says autistic child.
Sure.
They know they're coming into my house for whatever reason.
Right.
They know they have a non-responsive adult male. So maybe they're going to approach it a little bit differently.
Yeah, and the county does have some great resources that we promote on that, relative to different registries. And you can definitely visit the Hunter County OEM site and, take advantage of those registries for different needs, that are on the prepared front. You mentioned, one of the countywide and then statewide issues that we continue to partner, and then it comes down on a municipal level, are those plannings, or we're brought into the briefing. So, you think about here in Raritan Township, we have a heavy rail traffic that comes through our township.
Right.
God forbid if something were to happen, what would that mean and look like? So our county OEM, along with other county OEMs, have finished up a really comprehensive plan around, rail management in terms of that safety issue. And we're starting to now, again, filter that down to the local level. And that's, again, another exercise. Unfortunately, in today's day and age of safety and preparedness, this is a real issue. The county OEM and myself representing the township and representatives from the Flemington Borough, we're involved with our local schools. You know, we sit on the school security committees. So, you know, being part of the K-8 school security committee obviously enables, along with our local police departments that are there, God forbid, again, an incident happens, and that may be an incident where they just have to move, you know, hundreds of kids from one school to another because a system went down to something, you know, that potentially could be far more tragic, you know, at the end of the day. So those resources and preparedness have escalated over the last 10, 15 years just based on, you know, again, I think an understanding and unfortunately from the realization and learning, you know, from the hard lessons that many communities have experienced throughout our country.
Yeah, I mean, the sad, when things happen, bad things happen is one thing, but when we don't learn from them, it's doubly bad.
Sure,
I think.
Without a doubt.
And these, mentioned the schools. I mean,
these are very, very hard topics. We just had an exercise that was, you know, public. We did our best to prepare the community for it. It was coordinated by the Hunterdon County Prosecutor's Office, coordinated with both our local police departments. We spent months preparing for a school exercise in the event of a live shooter.
An active shooter, yeah.
You know, obviously our local resources on the rescue squad side involved the fire company. And this was months of planning. But, you know, again, these are the things that we have to be ready for and, you know, be prepared for.
And I think you've seen that in some of the situations where things have happened.
Sure.
The response, because it's different and it was trained different. I mean, I was president of the Board of Ed when Columbine happened.
Okay.
And, you know, the policy before that was lock down and wait for the FBI.
Sure.
Now the policy is, we all know, is they're going in because they're going to take the guy out or the person. But, I mean, that meant training teachers, meant training students. And the funny thing is you got to train students every year because they're different every year.
Sure.
But you mentioned the coordination there. Is one of the big things I saw recently is the different agencies working together. The school, like when I was president of the board, we were building an addition to the high school. We put an oversized generator, and it cost us nothing compared to doing it later. And the idea was that the gymnasium and the auditorium and the cafeteria can be used as a shelter.
Sure, definitely.
So OEM knew that they have, you know, 500 spots in that high school that they can use at a moment's notice.
Right.
We cancel school that day, big deal.
Right.
We can put 500 people in those, and we can feed them.
Yeah, we routinely, during any one of our storms, open up our municipal building, which has a generator, for a day warming station. Folks can come in and charge. You think about the day in which we live now, everything is electronic. So, you know, I've got in front of me the ready FEMA checklist, which again I encourage folks to go to. It's ready.gov. It's a great website. It's got tons of information. But think about it. When your phone goes down, you know, do you have an extra, now they make those little portable charging units.
Right.
Do you have that for your phone? Do you have the right wires? Do you have a cigarette lighter charger that you can go out to your car and, you know, take your car out of the garage? But you know, if you're out there and you can actually charge, you know, your phone up. A lot of folks now have little tiny you know, generators that are battery driven generators.
Right,
so there's
right.
no, you know, issues in terms of emissions and safety.
Right.
I mean, you know, on the fire company, if you have a generator and it's not built into your house, you don't run it in your garage,
right,
you know, at the end
right.
of the day. But, you know, we are seeing more and more people get, you know, installed professionally.
Well, I'm glad they have that list because there's a lot of things that, you know, one of the things that we used to store, I used to rotate like 10 gallons of water in the house.
Yeah, water is important.
But you know what somebody told me,
sure.
and I learned this from a fire company, and here I am, never thought of it. I got an 80-gallon hot water tank.
Sure.
I got 80 gallons of fresh water in my house
sure.
at any given moment.
Right.
So God forbid I lose power, I lose water, which water, tell you the truth, you don't lose right away because it's gravity-fed. But if I did,
sure.
I got 80 gallons of drinkable, potable water in my house sealed in a glass tube.
Sure.
Never thought of it that way.
Which is a good thing. And the FEMA recommendations is water, 1 gallon of water per person per day for
right.
at least 3 days. So do you have that? You do. You can have some extra water there as well. I mean, again, you talked about the simplest thing is batteries. You know,
right.
there's going to be a rush on batteries. Do you have batteries, you know, to operate a flashlight, or is your flashlight charged? So many of these are charged now. You know, I think having a first aid kit is something that people don't think about.
Right.
A lot of folks, especially if they're older, you know, do you know where you keep your prescription list? Do you have that ready?
Right.
If you've got to get out of your house, or you've got it digital, or send it to your kids so they have it, you know, digitally. I mean, that's another, again, item that if you're displaced and you have to move into a shelter, are you going to be able to, you know, make sure that your prescriptions
they can't even fill them without a doctor's order, so
sure.
you have them with you.
Yeah,
I mean, I actually have gold bags. We have gold bags for our parents. And
okay.
and actually, I should
– great.
because that way my father-in-law, if he had a heart issue, he gets in the back of the paramedic, and everything happens so quickly.
They can grab it, sure.
They can take the folder, and on the way there, they're looking at it, and sure. And you know, although the hospitals are getting better too, they seem to be all sharing that information.
They are. There's a lot more information.
They scan your palm, and they know everything about you. But like you said, in a national catastrophe, what are we doing? Because you know, sure. I think what Chris is saying too is 99% of them are handled on our routine, regular basis, right. First responders, 911 calls. These are the incidents that are well and beyond it. And you know what? You don't have to look far to see it. Turn the news on this morning and look at the people in Alabama that they're pulling out of cars. Arkansas River is the highest.
Well, think about it, Larry. Last week, who would have thought that Hunterdon County would be getting tornado warnings?
Right.
And, you know, we had high wind, high gusts. We had 2 days of tornado warnings. There was reports, at least on the news, I don't think it was ever confirmed, that a tornado was down West Amwell, Lambertville. And that literally, I was downstairs, and all of a sudden the TV's going, nuts with its warning. And we're watching News 12, and News 12 meteorologist is showing Lambertville, and he's showing on the radar this. So these things can happen here, and it doesn't take a tornado to do tremendous
tornado
damage.
Tornado, Lenape Valley was eight miles from my front door.
Stanhope up there.
I expected a house actually right down the street from that. Yeah. In 1972, the tornado went right through my development in Flanders, and it actually tied the chain link fences together.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
But, you know, no loss of life. Which was crazy, but
right.
You're right. I mean, but I'm saying if you look at the they're preparing the Mississippi River, which
right.
The Arkansas River is the highest it's ever been. Guess where it dumps? It dumps into the Mississippi. So every Vicksburg, all those cities along the Mississippi are preparing because it's coming.
Sure.
They don't need to – nobody needs to send them a message.
Right.
But they all have OEM managers and they all have programs. And these are people that I want you to be aware of out there, my listeners. I hope you're listening because these are your neighbors. These are the guys that get up and they do this in the middle of the night or they take care of people. And God forbid we don't need them. But I think Chris's crew does a great job because it doesn't cost us much other than the operational part of it. And one life safety incident would make the difference in the world. And hopefully we'll never need them. We're going to do a few commercials, but we'll be back, and then we'll summarize the OEM and what you can do or what you need to know, and we'll go from there. So we'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Okay, we're back. Chris is going to talk a little bit more about the CERT team, I think, and it's just so you guys understand what it is. It's sort of the overlying volunteer team that actually looks over
it
this
is,
stuff, right?
It is, and this is a great opportunity if you're listening today and you're thinking about you've always wanted to help in the world of emergency services, and you just don't have the ability, time to commit to go through hours upon hours of training to become a fireman or an EMT. Again, Office of Emergency Management oversees our CERT team, and we have, I think there's at least six or seven municipal CERT teams. There's also a county CERT team here in Hunter County. Again, OEM, our responsibility, yes, we help coordinate and work with those agencies on the response side. We work through the recovery. We're involved with mitigation and prevention, and then a lot of what we do is around that preparedness cycle. But CERT is an opportunity that, again, we have a cachet of individuals that go through about 6 weeks of training, and then we hold one training a month and a meeting. It really takes about an hour, hour and a half a month of time out of folks, and then folks are kind of on call. Or we know ahead of time of particular needs that we need extra hands on board for. So you were mentioning, Larry, your impression of CERT was around search and recovery. Well, where CERT originated was actually out in San Francisco. So after one of the large earthquakes, these community emergency response teams kind of were born and kind of grew out of that. And it was around the recovery and the search model. We needed people to go out. They needed people to go out and go door to door, structure to structure, and kind of look for people. Because, again, all of the first responders on that scale of instance, you know, gets overwhelming, you know, at the end of the day. And you only have so many resources. And then you've got to triage that situation. So you're going into whatever the most critical elements are, and you kind of work your way out from there. So the CERT teams originated of that. And then the movement kind of, you know, again, moved out nationally. And we've had CERT here for many years. In essence, the training covers a little bit of everything. It covers things around search. It covers things around being prepared. It covers a little bit about first aid. It covers a little about fire training. You get exposed, you know, here in the township to our agencies. We actually take the classes around to the various agencies, and some of them are held at the fire company or down at the rescue squad. Again, it's been a great partnership. The Office of Emergency Management in Reddington and also out in Holland Township are our primary trainers with the county. So we'll do a couple trainings a year. Our CERT team in particular then gets trained, you know, on use of radio. So as I shared, you know, if we have an incident that's going on, it may be a storm incident. They may be helping us down at the Emergency Operations Center. They may be answering phones. They may be proactively calling residents that are on our registry to check in, make sure they're okay. Do they need something? Encouraging folks that, you know, nobody during a prolonged power outage wants to leave their house. But, you know, if it's 20 degrees out and your house is 20 degrees, it may be time to go to a shelter. So we're checking in and trying to encourage folks, you know, to do that. We have other members of the team that may be out in the field, you know, doing damage assessment. You may have seen, you know, during Memorial Day parade here in Flemington, our CERT team, some members came in and helped the Flemington Police Department and the Flemington Explorers with crowd control and traffic management. So different events throughout the county, the municipal teams come out and help support. Down at Raritan Township Community Day, our CERT team coordinates all of the parking and all of the traffic control down there in conjunction with the police department. So they're physically helping out with things like that. So there are different roles that this group plays, and it's not a huge time commitment, but it's a really rewarding time commitment because, again, not everybody's up for, you know, getting up several times a week at 2:30 in the morning for a fire call or an emergency call, a squad call. But everybody can have a role and play a part, and it really is
a great resource. It reminds me of the U.S. Army, and I was told once that for every soldier out there that's in combat, there's seven support people making it happen.
Right.
Making sure he's equipped and it's communicated and coordinated and all that. And you talked about something as simple as radio training. And right. I've been at scenes where there's no radio training and right. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
When you can't communicate. And we also saw it in several places. We had training in Morris County. They had a car dealership fire where firemen were trapped and they were being stepped on by everybody and their brother. And they didn't get rescued.
Sure.
So it's important. The little things are. Yeah. But, I mean, one thing I got to compliment Huntington County on, and when I moved here back in 1987, I thought I was moving to the Hicks, you know, sure. I mean, because there was still cow farms and everything else. And
sure.
The Sticks, I mean, not the Hicks. But but you know what I was impressed about is when I was in a fire company, how coordinated the county was in a sense that they had gone beyond lines. I mean, we were in township, as you said, 38 square miles, and our station was on South Main and up in Cherryville. there were parts of the township that would take us a long time to get there. So sure. What they did in Hunterdon County was they blew out the nearest fire company, sure. And they blew out the township
mutual
that it was in.
Sure.
And a lot of times the first truck there wasn't us.
Right.
But you know what? That wasn't a big deal because I don't think the person whose house was on fire cared what the truck said on the side.
Yeah, definitely.
But that was impressive because in Morris County, sometimes you can get these territorial wars where you say, oh, that's the other side of the street. I can't answer.
Yeah, Hunterdon's been great on that. And I encourage anyone interested, you know, maybe learning more about the fire service or learning more about the rescue squad.
Well, rescue squad covers how many communities?
Sure.
I mean,
and I think the county's done great. In terms of we've got multiple disciplines now. There are different task forces around specialties that bring resources. So whether it's, for instance, if there was an incident here in this county or other counties, there's mutual aid agreements. We have a trench rescue task force. So when you think about a trench rescue on a construction site, and we've had this in the county, we've had this in the township, where there's an incident and the trench collapsed, and you've got a patient or patients that are now buried, literally, and need to be excavated. And it's not just getting that extricated, not just getting that patient out, but it's also getting that safely so you're not injuring the first responders.
Well, one of the things I found out very early on in training is if you're not trained well, you become part of the incident instead of a rescuer.
And, we've got a heavy collapse task force. We've got a high end rope task force.
And these are specialized for a reason because these guys train at this all the time. When I was a fireman, I didn't train. We had ropes course, but it was once every 2 years.
Our Flemington Raritan Rescue Squad just got back a few weeks ago. They were down in Virginia Beach. They go down every year to a national training and competition around vehicle extrication, specialty rescue extrication, special scenarios, and they're down there for a whole week. And here they are now collaborating and learning with agencies from all over the country. So, we really are fortunate when you think about it. You think about a large city like New York City or Philadelphia that have these paid resources. We have volunteers that give literally thousands of hours a month collectively to help repair our communities.
I have a little story about that. The Teslas, there's a big problem because of the battery fires. And not because the battery fires, because if you think about it, Tesla said that one day there was two Teslas that caught fire and made national news. But the same day, something like 4,000 gasoline cars caught fire.
Sure.
So, I mean, guess what? They catch fire, so do gasoline cars.
Right.
But the problem was that traditional firefighting techniques don't work with the Teslas.
Yeah, it's a different.
And in Europe, they've developed, the fire companies have developed different methods. They carry a porta tank. They pick the car up and they drop it into a tank of water.
Right.
They literally set up a porta pool, fill it with water, and they drop the whole car, submerge it in the water.
Sure.
Because it's the only way, and then they deliver the whole tank to the Tesla dealer to fix it because the batteries will keep igniting.
Sure.
But I mean, it's interesting that has changed so much because, if the typical volunteer fireman like myself showed up with a bravado with the hose and started squirting it on it, guess what? It flames up harder.
Right.
And then those are things that nobody anticipated.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, your message is great, Chris. I mean, I want to get it out there, guys, that you hear that Hunterdon County, this all goes on behind the scenes. It all goes on. Whether you're sleep tight or not, whether we have no incidents at all. But they're also there for Mercer County could have an incident, and guess what? Hunterdon County would be there to help.
Sure.
And vice versa.
Exactly.
And the state of New Jersey.
Sure.
I think Sandy is an example of how the state did work well. I mean, there's a lot of things we learned about it, and I'm sure you only hear the negative stories. But
I can give you examples of agencies from our county, from our town. You mentioned on the break about 9/11. I mean, we had fire companies here locally. We had the Flemington Rescue Squad. The heavy rescue truck went into the city to the World Trade Center. So,
but that all has to be coordinated. Has to be coordinated because that truck shows up there and they're not ready for it. It's just a waste of resource.
Right.
It actually can get in the way. So, and we also can't leave people behind because we can't leave our county stripped.
Without a doubt.
So that's what the OEM does. It's a really a planning machine. I think, and the execution is there. I asked Chris during the break if there's something where people could donate to the CERT and team, and he said really no. And maybe you can explain.
Yeah, no, definitely the CERT and the Office of Emergency Management is something that is supported by Raritan Township. We have a very small budget, but we do have an annual budget. It's under, I think I want to say it's around $8,000 to $9,000. But with those monies, we do some training, obviously, for our team and staff, and then there's certain elements and equipment that we try to get prepared for. When we get FEMA reimbursement dollars come in, a percentage of that, a very small percentage, but comes back to our office. The rest goes back to the departments that, also, whether it's the road department or whether it's the police department, have had those extra expenses, but we're able to look at additional equipment. We just finished last year putting together a new sheltering trailer that has a dual use. That came out of some FEMA money. We have like a little extra now command setup that we can bring out on scene if needed for a prolonged incident. We're still working on the trailer. We got to get it air conditioned and heated now, but we've got the trailer set up. We also have from the the other side of that, an opportunity to distinctly continue to support financially, our Raritan Township Fire Company, the Flemington Rare and Rescue Squad. I mean, those dollars, distinctly are important for training. They're important for equipment. So if you are looking to make a monetary donation, I can't encourage you enough to consider.
Well, back in 89, I started the first mail order fundraising with the fire company because we had outgrown our budget from the township in a sense and trying to help it. And so when you get that envelope and you think you're not doing anything or whatever, drop a couple bucks in it because I'm telling you, this is what it's doing on a daily basis. And Chris mentioned that the equipment, the OEM may not have the big equipment. They don't have the big fire truck and everything else, but they coordinate it. And you know what? And the big thing is you may have the best truck in the world, but if nobody knows you have it or nobody knows what it specializes in and nobody knows how to get it there, it sits unused. So I think what OEM does is coordinate all that and makes your local fire companies, your squads, look even more effective because now they're coordinated. That great talent gets to where it needs to be when it needs to be there. And also, like you talked about the resources. I mean, you watch them on the news and they go down the street and you see the houses with the big red X on the front door. Guess what? They search that house. There's nobody there. They move on. Now nobody wastes their time in that house.
Sure.
I mean, otherwise we spend our wheels. And I think Chris does explain a good job there. Chris, I appreciate you coming today.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Larry, so much. And again, if anyone is interested in getting involved, we'd be love to hear from you and love to have you reach
and then,
out.
And then the last Chris's other hat is the head of the chamber here. And I can tell you, I've only been involved in chamber 6 months here, but it's one of the best things I've done. In a sense, when you start a new company, you really got to be careful where you spend your capital. And I don't mean just dollars. I mean time.
Sure.
And the Chamber's been one of the best investments I've made because not only have I increased my business, but I've made a new network of business-like individuals who are there to help. Sometimes they're there for resources, for advice. Sometimes they're there just to listen or just to give you a boost when you think that you're out there struggling starting to start your business. So I got to thank you for that. The Chamber's been very welcoming. And every event I've been to, it's been a good time. Some events are better than others, I think, in my personal opinion. But you know what? I've never had a bad one yet.
Sure. No, that's great. I'm going to put one last plug. If folks are interested, give a call to the Office of Emergency Management, Raritan Township, 908-806-7991. Or, Larry, they can like us on Facebook.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to leave you with one quote, though, just so I do everything. And this has to do with D-Day, because I want to leave you with D-Day, because that's big in my mind this weekend. It says, "Our sons, the pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free the suffering of humanity." That's from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And I tell you, they were the greatest generation, and they still are. And if you know a vet out there, thank them this week. Have a great week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Going to hear on those days. So, Karen, take away.
All right. This is Damian Quinn as Pippin singing an excerpt from Extraordinary.
Okay.
"The roof on the chicken house. I used to be the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire." All right, so I screwed it up. But patching the roof and pitching the hay is not my idea of a perfect day. I'm extraordinary. I gotta do extraordinary things. I'm not the type who's asleep over the size of the compost heap. I'm extraordinary. I gotta do extraordinary things. Oh, I once knew a man who lived each day safe and sane and swell. And on the day he died, I couldn't cry. All I could say was, how could you tell? Looking at life from deep in a rut may give you a view of the sunshine, but it's unnecessary for someone who is very extraordinary like me.
All right. Where'd you get your training from, dude?
I had a little bit of training when I was younger, but I stopped.
Wow. Nice job.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks.
Well, I'm glad you stopped.
Thanks.
It was awesome. No,
thank you very much.
No, it's really good. Thank you. What else have we got?
All right, next we're going to have Kenneth Abbas as the leading player sing part of our opening number, Magic to Do.
All right, Kenny.
Join us, leave your fields of flower. Join us, leave your cheesy sour. Join us, come and waste an hour or two. Doodly-doo, journey, journey to a spot exciting, mystic and exotic. Journey through our anecdotic review. We've got magic to do just for you. We've got miracle plays to play. We've got parts to perform, hearts to warm, keys and things to take by storm as we go along our way. Hey.
Wow. Nice job.
Thank you very much.
I love the this little blues to the way you're singing that. I like that.
Stephen Schwartz's music is it's very fun to sing. It's very.
It is. Oh, you're stealing my thunder. I have a question about that later. You were reading ahead.